Hey, you want that to go?
For our takeout, unfortunately, in some cases, and fortunately in others, David fought Goliath last night and Goliath won. Duke defeated Butler in the NCAA tournament 61-59. But it was a great game for Butler. It was a close game, and there was a latch stitch effort from the underdog.
It's Hayward pulling it down, getting around Zubac at midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, it almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010.
That's Butler's Gordon Hayward trying to sink a basket from the half court. So close. The lasting impact, though, may still lie with Butler. They may see the biggest return on this particular investment in the NCAA tournament. Joining us now is Anthony Shetley. He's the sports business reporter for the Indianapolis Business Journal. First of all, Anthony, what a great game, right?
Yeah, it was fantastic, and it was really a microcosm for what Butler is trying to do with its basketball program. I mean, Butler was smaller at every position. They shot poorly, didn't have their greatest game in many ways, but right there at the end, they're in there with a chance to win. They had the ball twice late in the game with a chance to go ahead or tie, and, you know, right at the end, shot just a little too hard from just inside half court, just rimmed out. And so Butler is left to wonder if their ploy to bolster themselves with marketing and sales through basketball is a success and what they do next.
Well, you know, they say this wasn't a great game for Butler, but, you know, going up against Duke, that close of a score at the end kind of argues for the fact that they played great basketball.
Yes, it does, and they played as a team, and I think they've really grabbed the heart of many Hoosiers here in Indiana, the way that they play. Again, outsized at every position, maybe not quite the big names as the Dukes and the Syracuses, and they wobble at times during games, but they keep coming back again and again. They've really grabbed the heart of the people here in Indiana.
And as you were referring to earlier, in the end, after the game is over and all the hoopla dies down, Butler may be the real winner here, financially anyway, for the university.
Absolutely. This is a plan that was hatched by former Butler president Jeff Bannister 20 years ago to really use the basketball program as a sales and marketing tool to differentiate this school, not only in Indiana and the Midwest, but nationwide. Sales of merchandise has been in the $3 million range in the last 7 days.
Wow.
Web traffic has gone up over 1,000%. They usually get 5,000 to 7,000 visits on their website each day. Last week, they got 137,000 visits in one day.
Whoa.
Right after the Elite Eight game. During the Final Four, they got over 600,000 web visits. Now, I'm not talking to the athletic site. I'm talking to butler.edu, which is their admission site and their general information site. So, you know, basketball indeed is being used as a front porch and a portal into the university as a whole, and right now it looks like that strategy
Wow.
is working.
Hey, Anthony, is there a place where I can invest in a company that makes little bulldogs?
I think they're cranking them out left and right here in Butlerville. They are planning just a crush of merchandise. Win or lose, I talked to the people at the bookstore on Sunday, and their bookstore is about the size of your living room. It's a very small shop. They had to bring in people from the outside. They didn't have enough workers to handle it, and they were just selling caps, T-shirt, coffee mugs, keychains, anything and everything, and they're still planning on bringing in a lot more merchandise, win or lose.
Well, they lost, and yet they're winning. That's Anthony Shetley, sports business reporter for the Indianapolis Business Journal.
Our last takeout is in your voice. We talked about bullying earlier in the week, and we asked you where to put the blame when it comes to bullying, referring to the case of Phoebe Prince, who took her own life after relentless bullying up there in Massachusetts. Haiti from North Dakota called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
And of course, I think parents are responsible. As parents, we need to lead and guide our children. And if this is taking place, this sort of bullying in an extreme form, parents should be held accountable for what their children are doing.
So it sounds like Haiti thinks the answer is to pay more attention to what their kids are doing and be more involved.
This is Victoria calling from Seattle. I think parents need to be more involved in their children's lives. They need to know who their children's friends are. They need to spend time at school, and they need to take the time to talk to kids every day. I personally have been called a helicopter mom by teachers at my son's school, and I'm proud to be one.
The view of one helicopter mom, but some of you thought that the way parents actually behave can be at least as important as how involved they are in school.
Hello, my name is Grace, and I'm calling from New York.
I think that parents have a lot of responsibility for bullying behavior by their children. I think that children do mimic parental behavior. And so when you have a situation where a parent is speaking to a child in a bullying tone as a method of discipline, an attitude is carried forward among their peers and children who are younger than them.
And many of you say it's not just the parents who are to blame. What about what they're watching on TV?
Oh. You can't really blame the parents for the action of the child. You know, a lot of parents know their children are up to no good. They let them get away with a lot of stuff. And you know what? This is the time when a parent let a kid get away with a little too much, and now they're paying the price for it. But here's the thing. Those kids ultimately were responsible for their own actions.
None of this gets at how to solve the problem, though, which Jane points out on our website. She writes, Celeste made a serious mistake at the end of the show. Jeez, Celeste. She said there are three categories of people, the bullies, the victims, and the ones who stand by. There's a fourth category, those who intervene. Those are the people who do not tolerate bad behavior and take a stand against it by acting to safeguard those who are victimized.
Oopsie, I make mistakes quite frequently, actually. Alicia from Manhattan offers another solution to the problem.
I was bullied, and I've always thought that just as you can sue a boss for allowing a hostile work environment, if the parents would sue the principals or the teachers or the school boards, I'll bet you the schools would think of something.
Let us know what you think. You can continue this conversation at our website, which is thetakeaway.org, or you can give us a call. You know the number, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood wants to fine Toyota the maximum amount possible under the law. Why? We'll talk about that in just a few minutes.